Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message is going to come from the book of Jonah, chapter 4. And the thought for today's message is where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Now, it's easy to think that when you think of the book of Jonah and you think of sin, we immediately think of how Jonah portrayed Nineveh and that they were a sinful people, they were a violent people, they were barbarians. But there was also sin on both sides. There was sin on Jonah's part, and you say, well, yeah, of course there was sin on Jonah's part because he ran from God. Well, it actually goes deeper than that, and it will be exposed in chapter 4. And we will see how that God dealt very graciously with Jonah, and he also dealt very graciously with Nineveh. Now, as we begin in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah realizes at the end of chapter 3 that God was not going to destroy Nineveh, that Nineveh was not going to be overthrown because that they had repented and they had confessed their sin and they had repented of their sin and they had asked God for forgiveness. And that makes Jonah very angry, very angry. Actually, to put it in our terms, Jonah was fuming. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why was Jonah so upset? Now, when Jonah went into Nineveh, he preached, he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, we don't know for sure whether Jonah preached the entire message that God gave him. Because if we really look at the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So I stop and I say, well, where's the repentance part of that message? So was the repentance implied in the yet 40 days? We don't know. But we do know that Jonah prophesied that in 40 days, Nineveh would be overthrown. And we also know that in the Old Testament, under the law, that if what a prophet said did not come to be true, they were cast as a false prophet and they were sentenced to death by stoning. So was that possibly why Jonah was so angry? Could have been. He could have thought of it from the standpoint of, oh, my reputation is really taking a hit. But it's also, we could see the hatred in Jonah's heart toward the Ninevites. He really did not want the Ninevites forgiven. And that becomes very apparent in verse 2. Because in verse 2, Jonah prays a very strange, weird prayer. And he's very angry. And he says in verse 2, and he says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So Jonah's literally trying to justify the fact that he ran from God because of the characteristics of God. Jonah knew that if he went and he preached the message and they repented of their sins, that God was going to forgive them. So have you ever prayed an angry prayer to God? I mean, that's a tough question for us to think about. But I can look back over my life. Sure, I've prayed angry prayers. I've prayed frustrated prayers. So I'm no different from Jonah at times in my life. But see, we see how that with Jonah angrily telling God, this is why I ran. This is why I ran. I knew you were going to forgive me. So he's literally saying, God, I didn't want them forgiven. Because of the lifestyle they lived, and because as violent of a people that they have, they deserve your wrath. That's literally what he said. We all deserve God's wrath. We all deserve hell. Because Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can all have eternity with the one true living God because of the work that the only begotten Son done on the cross of Calvary for you and I. But see, let's look at how God deals with the ridiculous prayer and the anger that Jonah has. In verse 4, it says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" So does God respond to him in anger? Does God respond to him in wrath? No, he simply asks him a question. He's basically saying, Jonah, okay, you're angry at this. How's this working out for you? Jonah, take a step back and let's think about this. God is reasoning with Jonah. God is showing grace to Jonah. God is showing mercy to Jonah. Although Jonah is not thinking logically, Jonah is so angry that he probably cannot see straight, but God is dealing so mercifully and graciously with him. Now, the question is, Jonah exposed the point to the fact that he did not want the Ninevites forgiven. And that is sin in the depths of Jonah's heart. He did not want them forgiven. He did not want God showing any kind of favor to them. So we have to ask ourselves, is there a type of people in our life that we think they deserve God's wrath and they're beyond God's grace and we think that they ought to get what's coming to them? We've probably all thought that way over time in our life about certain groups of people or certain nations of people or whatever. But see, really damn deep in our heart is like Jesus told Nicodemus, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The ground is level at the cross for all people. Every people, every race, every creed, every nationality, no one is above the other. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But see, even though God knew Jonah's hatred and disdain for the people of Nineveh, God was still dealing graciously with Jonah. So in verse 5, Jonah goes outside of the city. He sits on the east side of the city and he builds him a booth and he basically just sits there and pouts. Because things aren't working out the way that he wanted them to work out. And I can relate to that in my life. Instead of just being obedient and following God and just being humble and just let him lead the way, we tend to want to pout that things have not worked out the way we had planned them in our mind. And basically, Jonah maybe is suffering from that here in verse 5. He's up on the east side of the city. He's looking to see what would become of the city and maybe just on a pity party. So then verse 6, God prepares a gourd, and it grows up overnight. It says, "And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow or shade over his head, that it to deliver him from his grief." So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. Now let's keep in mind here, Jonah has went from being exceedingly angry to now he's exceedingly glad. Why is that? Because the gourd is directly benefiting him. It's protecting him from the heat of the day. It's protecting him from the cold of the night. It's doing more for him than what he did, he could do with the booth that he built. And isn't that true with God? God can do so much more for us than we can do for ourselves. But yet, are we thankful for what God does for us in our life? And that's a very tough question for all of us to answer. But a lot of times we truly do need to take a step back and try to see, peel the layers of the onion back and try to see where God has led us. God has protected us in spite of ourselves and give thanks to him. But see, we never see Jonah giving thanks to God. We never see Jonah confessing the sin of his feelings toward the Ninevites. We never see that. It's not recorded. Doesn't mean he didn't, but we know it's not recorded. But then in verse 7, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." In verse 9, and God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" Now here we go. Jonah's went from being very angry to being exceedingly glad. And now he's exceedingly angry again. His emotions alone is just absolutely wearing him out. And I can relate to that at times. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're in the valley. And it's like one extreme to the other. And emotionally and spiritually, it's just absolutely wearing us out. But then Jonah responds to God again in a very angry tone. And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Verse 10, "Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." So God's trying to show Jonah, you have nothing invested in this gourd. You didn't do anything to make it grow. You didn't make it anything for it to go away. But yet you're angry because it went away. It's angry because Jonah was angry because that gourd was benefiting him, but he didn't have it anymore. That's why he was angry. But then God asked him another question. He says, "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern before their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" So God's trying to get Jonah to see that Jonah was angry over a very fragile gourd that really meant nothing. But yet he's angry at people not being destroyed in the Ninevites because it affected his pride, because it affected his reputation. It affected these things. And God's trying to get Jonah to see that there is value in the people of Nineveh because Jesus Christ came and died. There's value in every single human being who have ever lived because Jesus Christ came and shed his blood. If he did not see value in us, he would have never came to die the humiliating death that he died for you and I. But see, God leaves Jonah with a question in verse 11. He's not dealing wrathfully with him. He's dealing gracefully with him, trying to get Jonah to think about it. Take a step back and let's think about this. Let's reason this out. God deals with you and I the same way. We deal with a merciful God. We deal with a God that's slow to anger. We deal with a God that's full of mercy and full of kindness. If we will just repent of our sins, confess our sins, repent of of him and mightily cry out to him, and he will show his grace and his mercy to us. So as I let out the message, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And that's today's message. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.